content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Enviromedica, makers of TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Find TerraFlora and the full line of Enviromedica products at Enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Visit CastorPollucksPet.com for their complete line of organic and sustainably sourced pet foods. Organifi, the all-day superfood system that revives in the morning, energizes midday, and relaxes in the evening. Visit Organifi.com/OLR for 20% off. That's ORGANIFI.com/OLR. The Wellbeing Journal and Veg World Magazines. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based proteins. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to the science of evidence-based sports nutrition and supplementation. And Thorn Research, visit our dispensary at onelifradio.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. You can find more information on all our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the onelifradio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy Furbulous Friday, TGIF. Junior.
Same to you. Man, somebody's pushing buttons. Yes, somebody's pushing buttons.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello, happened. Hello, hello.
Hello, okay.
Man, somebody's pushing buttons again.
I'm gonna, God, it's Friday. That's all I can say.
I don't know. There's no reason to take the microphone out of what is called program. That is how it feeds the air. And somebody pushed it. I never look at it because there's no reason to ever take it out. Like, you always want your microphone to be on the air. I don't know why you would ever take it to be not on the air.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's what that was.
Check. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so glad it's Friday. I know everybody out there listening is as well, so you can enjoy your weekend. And, of course, our Furbulous Fridays are brought to you by Castor and Pollux, which is a company I've used for years, and they are our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. They are also America's number one organic pet food with the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful foods using sustainably sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef, and it is important what you feed your pets. And I have to say, I'm going to introduce Maura Davies here in just a second, and then I'll tell you what I was going to tell you. Maura Davies is with us today. She's straight out of the gate with us here on this Furbulous Friday. And at the half, we've got Dr. Steven Sinatra, you guys. I've wanted this guy on the show for years. He is a medical doctor, and he's written so many books. His bio is amazing. And we're going to be talking about allergies during the worst season ever, how it could be related to heart disease. So you're not going to want to miss that. And without further ado, Maura Davies, she is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA. That is the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of Texas. Always a pleasure. Maura, how are you doing today?
Doing great. And yay, Furbulous Friday. Woohoo!
I know, right? Well, what I was going to say is, so, you know, yesterday I bathed my five big dogs. So I've got Tom and Willie, Mick, Love, and Charlie. Those are my big ones that are like, you know, anywhere between, I'm going to say 60 and 100 pounds. Willie's a little tub right now. I got to get that weight off of him. But yesterday when I was bathing them and, you know, brushing them, getting all the extra fur off of them, doing all the good things you're supposed to do as a good pet owner, right? And trimming their nails, like I said, I was examining their teeth as well. And I am just amazed at Mick's mouth. Now, he's my oldest dog. We believe, you know, he's somewhere between 16 and 17 years old. And so you should see his mouth, Maura. You would think he was a puppy. And I do say, I think it's because of the food that I give them that has the raw bites in it, you know, and all the good treats that I give them, and just, you know, keeping their teeth really clean, because that's such an important part of health, not just for humans, but especially, you know, other species as well, cats and dogs and, you know, whatever, rabbits,
100%.
I don't know.
Yes, horses, alpacas.
Horses. Yeah, no, it's a lot of work. Well, you know, yeah, no, it's and I gave them their heart guard yesterday, their heartworm treatment to try to be preventative about it. And there's so much to know, so much to talk about. It's always great to have you on the show. Today, though, our focus is your pet in danger of West Nile virus? So what is West Nile virus? I mean, we've all heard of it. I haven't heard of it in years, though. And can it hurt our pets?
Yes. Well, West Nile virus, it's the leading cause of mosquito-borne disease in the United States. I looked this up on CDC, Centers for Disease Control Prevention website, just to be sure. I haven't heard about it, but I just started hearing a lot about people getting worried about it. Mosquitoes, of course, being so ever-present in so many states, including Texas. It's commonly spread to people by the bite of an infected mosquito. Mm-hmm. Now, mosquitoes can get infected by birds, other wild animals. There are lots of different animals that can get West Nile, but if you get West Nile virus, most people who get it don't feel sick, but about 1 in 5 people who are infected develop a fever and other symptoms, and 1 in 150 infected people develop serious and sometimes fatal illnesses. Now, what does this mean for our dogs and our cats and other animals in our lives? Dogs and cats can absolutely get West Nile virus, and it can be a serious illness in them as well. There is not a vaccine for dogs or cats, but there are some things that people can watch out for. But yeah, I mean, dogs and cats are absolutely susceptible to it too.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's, that was, and you know, I was looking, doing some research this morning and pulled up an article that I'd actually printed before that, you know, there are more viruses than stars in the universe. And so why do some infect us? It was from nationalgeographic.com, but more than a quadrillion individual viruses exist on Earth, but most are not poised to hop into humans. But, you know, mosquitoes carry a lot of things like heartworms. That's what I was talking about, you know, just a minute ago. And so, you know, there's lots of viruses out there. It's a good wake up call to just keep an eye on your pets and, you know, feed them good quality food, make sure they're getting exercise and water so that if they do contract a virus like this, their immune system will kick in and fight it off. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In most cases, but there are some things to watch out for. Most dogs or cats, especially if, while we're talking about those guys, but like I said, there are other animals that are affected by West Nile virus. Most dogs and cats should come through it okay, but it's one of those things that you definitely want to get with your veterinarian on.
Yeah.
Because there are some symptoms you can look for if you get with your veterinarian early enough, you can mitigate those symptoms and help your pet come through with an easier time of it, should they have those more severe symptoms.
Well, so what are some of the symptoms?
Yes. Well, so symptoms of West Nile virus could start appearing shortly after a dog or cat is bitten by a mosquito and the virus enters the bloodstream about from 24 hours to a few days. Mm-hmm. So the symptoms to watch out for are an elevated fever, which can persist for several days, muscle pain and weakness if you're, you know, touch your pet and they kind of yelp out or shy away from you. If you see skin rashes that you've just not seen, or if they have swollen lymph nodes, which you can kind of touch at the base of the dog's neck or cat's neck near their shoulders. And so this actually can be mistaken for other illnesses like the canine flu, but the symptoms might be milder or more severe depending on the dog and how they might react, how strong their immune system is, like you were saying. Some dogs can also, as on a secondary basis, develop encephalitis, which is the inflammation of the brain, which can be fatal if not treated. So be really careful of puppies, elderly dogs, immunocompromised dogs. They're more likely to develop the symptoms. Mm-hmm. But like I said, there's not a vaccine, so you just got to watch out for any symptoms.
Well, we can't vaccinate every virus. We're going to have a quadrillion vaccines. At some point you got to use your common sense and realize that, you know, we're all on this earth together. And, you know, when you said, you know, they get a fever, that's an indication that the immune system is actually working well and you don't want to reduce a fever that's not from an external source. If it's like heat stroke or something, yes, you want to cool the person down and all that. But when you get a fever, whether it's a cat, a dog or a human, whatever it is, that is a sign that the immune system is working and it is doing exactly what it should because it heats up the body to kill the virus. That's what it does. And so a lot of people don't realize that. They just think, oh my God, they get all this fear around fevers. Oh, fever, you know, I'm going to die. No, your body's doing what it's supposed, what it was meant and built to do. So I always like to bring that up. But so, you know, you said other species too about this West Nile virus are in danger. What about horses? I have a niece that has 5 horses that she rescued from the SPCA in Houston, by the way.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Well, horses can indeed get West Nile virus. However, there is a West Nile virus vaccine for horses. So that's something you can speak with your veterinarian about if you have a horse. But horses are more susceptible to illness from West Nile virus than dogs and cats. And though most horses recover pretty easily, it can be deadly in some cases because the virus invades the horse's central nervous system, and it can cause, it really get in there in that encephalitis. I don't know why I'm struggling with that word today. Encephalitis can happen. So that is the last thing you want.
Yeah, I have those days too, Maura. I get snagged by a word, and you just push through it. But
how many syllables does that word have? Like,
yeah. 17? Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then if you overthink it too long, what's that word that I used it yesterday? Actually, catastrophize. A lot of people can't say it. And I just, I've mastered it somehow. But anyway, and people do catastrophize about especially stuff like this. And there's no need to, just keep your pet strong and, be careful. Speak with your veterinarian. But what can people do to minimize West Nile virus exposure for themselves and their pets?
Yes, actually, it's easier than you think. So a couple of things that are truly important is mosquito control. So the easiest way to control mosquito populations are to eliminate standing water as much as you can on your property. Yep. So take away the places that are close to you where mosquitoes can breed. It doesn't require, you don't have to get, I know a lot of people out there do the sprays, citronella candles. Okay, cool. If that is your jam, you want to do that, but make sure you also get rid of that standing water, because that's going to continue to be a source for those mosquitoes regardless.
Yeah.
And then something else that people may not think about, if you see dead birds, like wild birds, if you see a dead bird, it is going to be important to report that to your local health department, whether it's local or state, because that could be a sign of not just West Nile virus, but several other things. Could be rabies. While we're on the topic of rabies, briefly, if you ever see a nocturnal animal, like a raccoon, acting erratically during the daytime, you may be concerned. It's time to call your animal control to help you out, because rabies is another scary zoonotic disease. That means it's a disease that can jump from animals to humans. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get treatment, if you get bitten by an animal infected with rabies, your chances of death are incredibly high. So that's some serious stuff. But so if you see dead birds, if you find a dead bird, it's going to be so important to report that to local authorities, whether that's just animal control. A lot of areas, you can just call 311 and say, hey, I've seen some dead birds. There's also avian influenza that can cause death in birds. So it's important, and having deceased animals around, it's not good for a lot of reasons, too. So.
Well, yeah, and don't use human insect repellent on your pets, right?
Oh gosh, that's so important. Yes, you got to be really, really careful to not put anything on your pets that's not made for animals. That can be its own deadly situation. Pets that will lick their fur, and they will probably get that in their bodies. And if you don't know that is pet safe, you don't know if it's going to be toxic. So, yes, get a pet friendly insect repellent. I can't stress that more. Thank you for bringing that up, Bernadette.
Oh, yeah. No, my pleasure. And I always love having you on the show. We're going to go for a quick break. More coming up with Maura Davies, and we've got Dr. Steven Sinatra at the half. We're going to be talking about allergies during the worst season ever. Could it be a cause for heart disease? We'll find out. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
If you're like me, you know the importance of eating healthy, but you don't always have the time or willpower to cook with all the colors of the rainbow. Organifi superfood blends make it easy and enjoyable to add more variety and nutrition to your day. These are delicious organic powders you can add to water, stir with a spoon, and enjoy anytime. For more energy, nutrition, hormone balance, and peace of mind, they're a great way to jumpstart your morning, energize your afternoon, or nourish your evening. Go to Organifi.com/OLR for 20% off. That's Organifi.com/OLR for 20% off.
Contagiously positive. One Life Radio is back.
Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. It is Furbulous Fridays here. on One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Maura Davies. We are broadcasting live from iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We're talking about pets today, all kinds of pets. We covered the West Nile virus. And now, you know, Maura, I think it would be great to talk about things that, you know, especially in the summertime that we need to watch out for. Like our, we talk about this all the time, but I tell you, I've become like the paw police with the hot paws, you know, on the pavement and people, you know, taking their dogs out to swimming events and things like that, right? What are some of the things, that we need to be aware of when people bring their dogs to swim?
Yes. You know, a lot of good safety tips on swimming and heat. And I will tell you right now, Bernadette, I'm so thankful that you keep preaching out there about the importance of hot pavement and doggy paws. Oh my goodness. I mean, I want to talk about that in a second, but your question about pool safety is an important one too. Yeah, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but it's tragedies can happen in the blink of an eye, and there are all different types of safety that we need to be mindful about around pools with our pets, especially mm-hmm. elderly pets, pets who have mobility issues, even pets who have previously had a really easy time swimming in the pool, may mm-hmm. for various reasons, maybe they accidentally drank too much water. Similar reasons actually for people, drowning can occur. So it's really important that, you know, doggy games are great. And it's key to just keep an eye on your pets and near the water.
Case in point, my Ruby Doobie, you know, my dog Ruby, that was her full name, Ruby Doobie, Ruby Doobie Fiaschetti was her name, but she she unfortunately drowned. She was an elderly dog, if those, maybe some new listeners that, you know, don't know about Ruby, but, you know, and I was so shocked. It was a Friday morning. We had to play a tape. I couldn't do the show. And it was shocking to see. And she had apparently slipped off the edge of the pool, and it happened pretty quickly. You know, and it's tragic. It does happen in the blink of an eye. And that goes for children too. You know, you have to be so careful around water. And so I'll share this with you and our listeners too. So yesterday I actually put a video out of Love playing with the hose, because he's one of those dogs, and you know what I'm talking about. They love the hose, right? And they get really crazy, and they're like, wah, wah, you know, they're like, you know, biting at the water and stuff. And they love it, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
So when we were doing it, though, while I was taking the video, I handed Maria, the hose for me to shoot the video. And so anyway, so as I'm shooting the video, I said, you know, Maria, we have to be really careful because, you know, moving forward from this, because remember, it only takes a teaspoon to drown. You know, that goes for a dog too, I'm guessing, because he was swallowing a lot of water, and then he started gagging a little bit, and it scared the bejesus out of me. You know, I was like, oh my gosh.
That can be scary.
Yeah.
No, that is a good point, and you're absolutely right. Water safety comes in all shapes and sizes, not just swimming pools. You know, we talk a lot about in the summer of, you know, put a whole bunch of ice in a kiddie pool, like the little plastic kiddie pools that you can buy all different places.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, and a lot of dogs love that. But you got to be careful around that too, because even just a little bit of water, if they ingest it the wrong way, can cause choking, and it is scary stuff. So you got to be careful, even if your dog enjoys water.
Loves at my feet. He's in studio. He just did a little he loves being on the show, but he's not mic'd up today. He's not mic'd up.
Darn it.
But oh my gosh. Well, so I'm thinking of some other summer things. You know, you have to watch out for fleas and ticks. Okay, so, and this actually happened yesterday too. These are all real stories, you guys. I've got plenty to tell. So when I was bathing all the big dogs yesterday, Willie, okay, my fat boy Willie, I thought he had a tick on his rear end, because, you know, I shampoo the whole body and make sure there's no fleas and ticks and all that. And it wasn't. It was like a mole that had grown. Okay.
Oh.
It was a mole, but it looked like a tick. And so, you know, you have to be careful. You have to be observant of, you know, even when you bath the dog, it's a good time to get to know and, you know, do like an exam of their body to make sure they're okay. So he's got to go to Dr. Norris and be put on a diet and get the mole removed. And he's been coughing a lot. And so though I do use the HeartGuard medication, it's not 100%. And so I'm going to get him checked for heartworms as well. So
that's a good thing. And you hit on a really important point there. If you're in there and you have, you know, the suds and soap going in the water, it's going to allow you to see a little bit more into your pet skin than you normally would if you're just brushing them, if they have dry hair. So look for those, because fleas and ticks will also, we talked about mosquitoes, but there are all kinds of other parasites that are everywhere, and they can carry all kinds of yucky, gross things like tapeworm, heartworm, Lyme disease, Bartonella, that can put your pet's health at serious risk. You gotta keep a watchful eye and know when it's time to raise the hand. Like when you finding that mole, great reason to go to your veterinarian and say, hey, can we check this out?
Yeah. No, it's all good. What else do you want people to know, Maura?
I'd love to talk about the hot paws again. I don't think we can talk about this enough for folks out there, because I know. And I'm not kidding you. Yesterday, I was having this conversation yesterday with a couple of really wonderful folks I was meeting with, and one person said, hey, isn't it true that the sidewalk can be too hot for pets' paws? And I said, you are so 100% correct. You have no idea. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, I like to put my hand down the pavement, like the back of my hand down, to see if it's too hot, because then I know if it's too hot for me, it's going to be too hot for my dog's paw pads.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that can burn like that.
Oh, yeah.
Concrete, asphalt, cause like massive burns on your pet's feet. It's bad.
Well, and you have to be careful how you approach people, because they're very sensitive about it. And so I always say I work with the SPCA. I don't say I'm part of the, you know, I don't misrepresent myself, which is true. I work with you on the air. And so that always kind of softens the blow for them. And I said, you know, we talk about it all the time about how, you know, you can really, you know, get your pet's paws can get severely burned if you're not, you know, cognizant of it. So you really need to be aware. Yeah.
Yes. And it can lead to overheating of your pet too, which can cause, lead to heat stroke. So, you know, make sure that your pet is getting enough water. Make sure that they are in the shade. I mean, heck, when it's this hot and this weekend's going to be 100 degrees plus every day, bring the kiddos in, the four-legged furry kiddos inside. And or make sure they have plenty of ways to escape the heat outside, including lots of water. We talked about it before, but it's worth mentioning again. Get out there, bury a bucket in the ground. Put the water in there. Put some ice in there. And make sure your pet can escape the heat into the shade, in a well-ventilated spot. So if your pet is, like, heavily panting, or if they have dry or bright wet red gums, if their drool is thick, if they're throwing up, they have diarrhea, or they're just wobbly, those are signs of overheating. And you mentioned temperature earlier. A dog's normal temperature is between 100 and 103 degrees, and the normal temperature from cats ranges from 100.4 to 102.5. So if you have a pet-appropriate thermometer, and that's all I'm going to say about that right now, if you're using that and the temperatures are above there, be aware, and especially if you know your pet's been outside. Overheating is deadly. So get them in, call the vet. It's an emergency.
Yeah. And if you don't have a doghouse, get one, and don't tie or chain your pets up. It's really not cool. It's not.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Spay and neuter. Watch those paws. I'm going to write stuff all over my car. Maybe shoe polish.
Anyway.
Or those special pens. So great to always have you on the show. Maura Davies, she is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the SPCA. And I ask that you volunteer or contribute even a couple of dollars. They're out there doing tremendous work in our community. Thank you so much, Maura. Always a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you, Bernadette. Talk to you soon.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Stay tuned, everyone. We've got Dr. Stephen Sinatra coming right up. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hey, everyone. I've got some fabulous news. Castor and Pollux, a brand that I've used for years, has joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Their Organics line of recipes is the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. And their pristine recipes are made with responsibly sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Castor and Pollux is the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. Shop and order online at CastorPollux.com. That's CastorPollux.com. Or find it at Whole Foods, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, or Central Market.
We're back. More of One Life Radio starts now.
Hello, everyone. everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. I am about to introduce Dr. Steven Sinatra, you guys. He has more than 40 years of clinical practice, research, and study, and is currently the advisor for the research and development of nutritional supplements with healthy directions. He started his career as an attending physician at Manchester Memorial Hospital in Connecticut, where he then went on to serve as chief of cardiology, director of medical education, director of echocardiography, director of cardiac rehabilitation, and director of the weight reducing program. Dr. Sinatra is also the founder of the New England Heart Center, where he became known as one of America's top integrative cardiologists. He is a best-selling author of more than a dozen books, including one of my favorites, The Great Cholesterol Myth, Reversing Heart Disease Now, The CoQ10 Phenomenon, Heart Sense for Women, and The Sinatra Solution, and Metabolic Cardiology. His website is drsinatra.com or on Facebook and Twitter at SinatraMD. Such an honor and a pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome, Dr. Steven Sinatra. Welcome to One Life Radio.
Oh, my gosh. What a very, very nice introduction. And I love the music you were playing.
Of course.
New York always helps.
Of course. And I'm from New York, and so are you.
Yes.
And so is somebody else. I have to ask the obvious
right.
question. Okay, so my last name is Fiaschetti. That rhymes with spaghetti, right? And so I have to ask you the question that you have been asked your entire life. Are you related to Frank?
Well, you know, the library burnt down in 1889, and, you know, we don't have the records, but we do know that Frank Sinatra, his father and my grandfather, they grew up in the same small town
really?
In Prizzi, Sicily. So that's all we know.
Oh, well, then
so they were probably cousins. They could have been brothers. I mean, who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah, who knows? I love it. I love your New York accent. I feel like I'm at home.
I still have my New York accent. Yes.
I love it.
Actually,
I love it.
I was born in St. Vincent's Hospital in Manhattan. Do you believe it?
Oh, wow. I do believe it. Well, you know, and Junior's half Italian and half Jewish, and he was born and raised in New Jersey.
Yep, Bayonne.
So. Wow. Bayonne.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love having you on the show. I really do. And I've been a huge fan of your book, The Great Cholesterol Myth, for years. In fact, Johnny Bowden, who co-wrote it with you, has been on the show many times as well. And I love you both for writing that book, because it was such an important book. And I encourage everyone to get a copy if you've never read it, The Great Cholesterol Myth, and all of Dr. Sinatra's books. But today specifically, we're talking about allergies during the worst season ever could cause heart disease. So, Dr. Sinatra, what's the connection between allergies and heart disease?
Well, you know, for many, many people, if they have allergies, like let's say hay fever, and it's a prolonged season, for example, if the season started early and ended late and it was a few months of allergy-provoking symptoms, remember, allergy can set up inflammation. And over the last 20 years, we've realized that it's inflammation which is the root cause of heart disease. So there's an interplay between, you know, relentless inflammation occurring from pollen, which in some people are miserable, including myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to move to Florida during pollen season because I was so sick. And I took so many different drugs, bronchodilators, corticosteroids, antibiotics. I saw allergists, pulmonologists, internists, you name it. I couldn't get fixed. So I had to get out of the pollen. That's the only thing that really remedied my own personal situation.
Wow. And I have to say, I typically never suffer from allergies, but I have this year. And so and there's something to it for sure. So what do you think about over-the-counter allergy medication? Is it useful and is it safe?
Well, it's like aspirin for a headache, and the problem with some of these allergy medications is in some men, it can cause urinary retention. Now, listen, I have seen men, you know, who can't urinate, and it's a medical emergency. I mean, I've seen grown men cry. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
So for any elderly male listening to this show, you know, if they do take over-the-counter allergy preparations, you know, make sure they clear it with their doctor, just because I wouldn't want to get any male, you know, into trouble. Now, in females, some of these non-steroidals can cause high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of females may take Advil or ibuprofen or any of these drugs, or, you know, they're not allergy, you know, they don't counteract the allergy, but they counteract the inflammation that allergy causes. Mm-hmm. But if they take these medications, they have to be careful of high blood pressure as well.
Wow. A lot of people don't know that. There's so much.
They don't know it.
There's so much that they don't know about over-the-counter because, you know, you feel like, oh, they're over-the-counter. So they're safe. They've been tested. I received, I can't think of it right now. There are some, my goodness, I can't think of it. I've got it printed downstairs on my desk. But it's a medication for, constipation. Okay. And,
right.
And they give it to children and it has some really bad side effects for children. Probably shouldn't even be on the market, but, I'm going to do an upcoming show on it. But as I said, so many people think that over-the-counter medications are safe and sometimes they're really not. They have some really profound side effects. So when are these medicines counterproductive? Like you just said about the high blood pressure and,
Any of these over-the-counter medications can cause problems. I mean, let's think of the most common over-the-counter medication that we all take is aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people don't realize that 19,000 people a year die from aspirin because of gastrointestinal bleeding. In other words, anybody listening on your program who has abdominal upset from aspirin should not take it. Definitely not take it because it can cause erosion of the stomach. And a lot of people take it to prevent heart disease. They'll take a baby aspirin or an adult aspirin a day. And aspirin can cause a lot of problems. I mean, as a heart specialist, trust me, I've seen a lot of people on aspirin in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And, you know, aspirins are good to bad in the elderly. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the best diet for someone who's struggling with allergies, Dr. Sinatra?
Ooh, good question. Good question. You know, at first I would say dairy-free for sure. And then I would say sugar-free, but now even gluten-free. I mean, I think the gluten allergy is, you know, we used to think it was due to, you know, the people with celiac disease shouldn't take gluten. But now we're seeing so many people who cross-react with gluten. So I think gluten, dairy, and sugar would be the three evils. And if people are suffering from allergies, these foods, you know, should be avoided at all costs because it will contribute to the overall chronic inflammatory response.
Yeah, dairy's a big one. Can we talk about that for a sec?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can tell you this. Coming from a diabetic family myself, my grandmother and my mother were diabetic. I mean, now we're seeing these milk allergens given to children where the milk allergens can be destructive to the pancreas. So we can see, you know, type 1 diabetes occurring in children as an extreme. I use that as an extreme example to allergy in milk. So, I mean, you know, some of these food situations that interact with, you know, different antigens in the body, you know, can have disastrous circumstances. So, you know, we have to be very, very careful going forward.
Yeah. And so what foods help with allergies? I'm guessing plant-based, number one.
Plant-based. I mean, my favorite plant-based food is quercetin. I mean, quercetin to me, even in COVID-19, is a lifesaver. Quercetin is found in onions. And I'll never forget it when I was an early cardiologist in my career. I read this article in the Dutch literature. It was about elderly men. And the researchers were looking at how long these elderly men lived. They didn't care if they died from pneumonia or a heart attack or a stroke. They just wanted to know how long they lived. So a lot of these men went into their 90s and early 100s, and basically what they tracked was how much black tea they drank, because black tea contains quercetin, how many green apples they ate, because that contains quercetin, and how many onions. And onions have the greatest sources of quercetin. And what they found, this blew me away. This had such an impact on me, I'll never forget it. And I would lecture on this all the time because I had slides from this literature.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it showed was the higher amounts of quercetin in the bloodstream, the longer you lived. Think about
that.
That's unbelievable.
What?
Longevity correlated. The more onions you ate, the more green apples, or if you drank, you know, black tea instead of coffee, you were getting a lot of quercetin. You lived the longest, you know, in the study. Amazing stuff.
Well, you know, my dad, he's Italian. He passed away, but he lived to be 98 years old. And you'll laugh, Dr. Sinatra. He used to put olive oil and vinegar on his head every day, especially the vinegar. And we ate a ton of onions, grilled onions and bell peppers with just, you know, the bread. We didn't eat a lot of meat. He didn't like meat. And my father lived a really long time, but it's almost like he, I just think Italians are so, I don't know, and they just have instincts when it comes to food. You know, like,
well,
like,
it's also the Mediterranean basin. You see,
yes, yes.
You got to realize that olive oil, ooh, I got to chill on that one. Olive oil, that means that the angels agree with me. you know, if you want to talk spirituality, I can go to a very, you know, my last book was Heaven and Earth, so I can go there. But basically, the secret sauce of the Mediterranean basin is indeed extra virgin olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether you live in Spain or Italy or Libya or Greece or Crete. There are more 100-year-old plus people in the world living in that section of the world than mm-hmm. the entire world.
Yeah.
And get this. The Mediterraneans just surpassed the Okinawans. Remember, the average Okinawan lives to 87.6.
Uh-huh.
Now the average Mediterranean lives longer. Guess what? The average American lives to 79.4. Think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
With all our technology, we live less than the Japanese and the Mediterraneans.
Yeah,
longevity.
I love having you on the show. I can't even tell you how much I'm enjoying this, especially on a Friday. And we have to go for a quick break. More coming up with Dr. Stephen Sinatra. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
If you're like me, you want all of the health benefits organ meats have to offer, but without having to cook and eat them. Well, I have the solution. Our partner, Enviromedica, offers products like grass-fed organ complex, bone marrow, beef liver, and cartilage collagen. They are sourced from the evergreen pastures of New Zealand and then gently freeze-dried and encapsulated to preserve nutrient content. These supplements support immune function, metabolism, joints, ligaments, organ function, and overall wellness. Try today at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com.
Back with more positivity pouring out your speakers. It's One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. TGIF, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Dr. Stephen Sinatra. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, I'll give a quick bio for Dr. Stephen Sinatra. He has more than 40 years of clinical practice, research, and study, and is currently the advisor for research and development of nutritional supplements with healthy directions. He is a best-selling author of more than a dozen books, including one of my favorites, The Great Cholesterol Myth, Reversing Heart Disease Now, The CoQ10 Phenomenon, Heart Sense for Women, The Sinatra Solution, and Metabolic Cardiology, and his most recent book, Heaven and Earth. I can't wait to get a copy of it. So, Dr. Sinatra, I've got so many questions for you, but let me start with this, because we're focusing in on allergies during the worst season ever, and its possible connection to heart disease. So what are your top four herbs and supplements for allergies and heart health?
Well, I mentioned quercetin. That's number one. I love vitamin D. I mean, vitamin D is so important. You know, not only in COVID-19. I mean, you know, people with the highest blood levels of vitamin D do not get the complications from COVID-19. It's very, very interesting. So I would tell any person suffering from allergies to take vitamin D, as well as a preventive for COVID-19, because, I mean, taking 5,000 units a day will not hurt you, you know, particularly during a long allergy season. I like N-acetylcysteine. We call it NAC, N-A-C. Unfortunately, the FDA has taken that off the market because it's so medicinal. I mean, I have loved NAC for years. It's broken down to glutathione, and then, you know, with the combination of selenium and vitamin C in the body, we form the enzyme, what we call glutathione peroxidase, which is the most immune-supporting enzyme in the entire body. So, you know, I love NAC. I love coenzyme Q10. I have to tell you. You know, you were playing a little bit of Nancy Sinatra Jr., you know, Pusa Maven Walken.
Yeah.
Well, her mother saw me on TV about 25 years ago, and she calls me up to see if I was related to her previous husband, Frank. And basically, I ended up putting her on CoQ10 because she was interested in vitamins and minerals. She was Do you realize she died when she was 101 and a half? She only died like
what?
A year ago. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
This is Frank Sinatra's first wife, Nancy Senior.
Wow.
And she used to have me over the house all the time in Southern California and stuff like that. She's a wonderful woman, just a wonderful woman. And she took, and I saw her about a year before she passed, and she was lucid and erudite and sharp, and she was taking CoQ10 all the time, which, again, I think is very, very important, you know, in this day and age of, you know, killer bacteria, killer viruses, et cetera. Because one of the things about CoQ10 that we need to know about, it sort of puts a blanket on inflammatory mediators. And the problem with inflammatory mediators, and, you know, a lot of people know about C-reactive protein, interleukin-6, NF-kappa-B. All these are inflammatory cytokines that are released in the body in response to inflammation. And the over-release of these in COVID-19 can be disastrous. But coenzyme Q10 not only puts a blanket on these, they help to prevent these inflammatory mediators, but CoQ10 supports what we call endothelial cell function, which is really the harbinger in hemorrhagic lesions with COVID-19. So I'm all in when it comes to coenzyme Q10. And one of my favorite new ones is andrographis. This is something that they're using in Thailand right now. I actually learned about this herb from one of my fellow clinicians in Seattle. And this is being studied in Thailand with COVID-19. And basically, this herb is anti-inflammatory, antiviral. It creates immune system support, and it makes white cells very angry, where it helps to engulf viruses and bacteria that are harming the human body. So I'm all in on andrographis as well.
And how do you spell that?
A-N-D-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-I-S.
I'm going to get some for sure. I love talking about supplements and the natural world. There's natural healing power in all of these, you know, these supplements and these herbs. I believe in it so much. You know, when you were talking about CoQ10 and you wrote the book, CoQ10 Phenomenon, isn't there something that interferes with CoQ10? It's a medication. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Warfarin. Yeah. In other words, it's a blood thinner.
Yes.
You know, it's very, very rare. It was talked about in the literature, but I have to tell you, I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of patients on warfarin with coenzyme Q10, and perhaps I saw an interaction only once. So it's reported in the literature, but it's a rare interaction.
Okay. No, that's one of the things that I was talking about. I'll have to find out after the show and send you an email. But so what about neti pots? Are they useful for allergies?
You know, when people are suffering with mucus and stuff like that, and if they want to use a neti pot and, you know, flush their nasal passages with saline, oh, my gosh. I mean, that not only is comforting to a lot of people, but also you're washing out the nasal passages of inflammatory components, you know, dead white cells and bacteria, mucus, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, I would endorse that wholeheartedly.
Okay, and so you recommend acupuncture as well for allergies. How does this help?
Well, acupuncture basically reacts because it has a favorable impact on the sympathetic nervous system. In other words, we're miserable with allergies, so our autonomic nervous system is on, you know, it's heightened. And basically, what the acupuncture points do, it helps to balance the parasympathetic with the overactive sympathetic nervous system. Now, if you don't want to get needles stuck into you, I like earthing and grounding. I like walking barefoot, you know, because it does the same thing. In other words, when you walk barefoot, not only are you balancing the overactive sympathetic nervous system and you're calming the body more, but whenever you earth or ground, you're thinning the blood. And I think thinning the blood is one of the most important aspects, especially when it comes to chronic relentless inflammation, because when you are inflamed, we get like red ketchup type blood. And we don't want red ketchup blood, because the thinner the better. And the problem with electromagnetics and Wi-Fi and you know, all these, you know, different insecticides and pesticides in the environment and heavy metals, they all thicken the blood, including cigarette smoking. That's one of the reasons why smokers would get more stroke and heart attack. You know, it wasn't only related to nicotine and vasospasm of blood vessels, but again, smoking thickens the blood as well.
Mm-hmm. And I remembered what I couldn't remember a couple of minutes ago. Statin meds, don't they interfere with your production of CoQ10?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah,
that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah. Actually, they do. In other words, listen, statins are potent cholesterol killers. But remember, on that same metabolic pathway is the CoQ10. See, CoQ10, you know, comes from that cholesterol pathway. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you kill cholesterol with statin drugs, oh, my gosh, you will lower your CoQ10 levels as well, and you mm-hmm. don't want to do that. That's why a lot of people get muscle pain or cardiomyopathy. There's so many different, you know, ill side effects of statins, and a lot of them, you know, can be overwhelmed if you give adequate doses of CoQ10 at the same time. Now, look, I like a very low-dose statin when it comes to males with proven coronary artery disease, but I always chase it with at least a couple hundred milligrams of mm-hmm. a good-quality ubiquinone.
Mm, wow. So does meditation play a role with allergies, too? I'm looking at the clock. We only have about a minute, unfortunately. I could talk to you for hours.
Oh, I love meditation. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah?
Gee whiz. Oh, yeah, meditation is good. Prayer is good. Any type of quieting is good. Sun gazing is good. In other words, if you just quiet the autonomic nervous system by saying a prayer or by thinking of a pleasant experience when you were 12 years old or 16 years old or going inside and closing your eyes. And, you know, there's so many things you can do to calm your mind. And again, a one word mantra or, you know, saying the Lord is my shepherd or shalom or whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you repeat that over, like even Om, you know, when I go to Sarvananda in the Bahamas and I teach yoga, you know, at the Institute, any of those things are good in quieting the overactive nervous system.
Wow. I loved having you on the show. I hope that you'll grace our airways once again in the near future. Thank you so much, Dr. Stephen Sinatra, everyone. Check out his website, drsinatra.com. Thank you so much. Such
a
pleasure.
You. A great interview. Thanks so much.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Right. Oh, gosh, that was so much fun, you guys. I'm high. I'm naturally high. All right. Everyone, you know what? Get out there and have a great weekend. Remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.